Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening's Lenten meditation, an application to our daily faith life, is found recorded in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 61 and 62. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. So far, so our text. In Christ Jesus, repairs and heals our broken hearts with his forgiving love to fill a redeemed. What do you do to help you remember things? I still use the old school method of a 3x5 note card. I began this way back in the beginning of my ministry some 43 years ago. On one side is this week's schedule. Other side, things I remember need to remember to do during the week. I still do that every week, even though I have an iPhone. Hard to teach old dogs new tricks. Most of you, I'm sure, use electronic memory helps and set alarms in your phones. Maybe even use digital calendars. One of the most memorable ways of remembering something, Noah uses. Tying a ring or a string around your finger. Sometimes there are unintended ways to remember something. When the smoke alarm goes off and you remember, "Ooh, I left something in the stove." Well, in our text this evening, there's an unintended thing that happened to remind Peter. The rooster crowed. We mentioned last Wednesday that this year during Lent, we'll be looking at the word remember in the Bible and see how it applies to God and also to us people. With two thoughts. One, the remembering, that is the intent and the thought of the mind. And then secondly, the action that's taken after the remembering. In our text tonight, Peter did something after he remembered. We read again. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. The rooster crowed, and Peter remembered Jesus' words, and Jesus' words showed Peter his sins, and the power of Jesus' words led him to repent with bitter tears. And that's our theme this evening. God causes his word to be remembered so that people repent. Our first point is, Peter had started this evening with noble intentions. Jesus said, "You will all fall away," to his disciples. But Peter boldly confessed, "Even though they all fall away, I will not." Then Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you'll deny me three times." Peter strongly disagreed. We're told he spoke more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said the same thing. What Peter and the other disciples were saying were simply words. Yeah, they were words from their heart. But they had no power, they had no ability to fulfill them. No matter what the noble intention was, or how zealous they were, Jesus has the power to keep and fulfill his words. And so he did keep his word. He said he would be betrayed, denied, arrested, crucified on the cross. All that took place, as it had been prophesied for thousands of years in the Old Testament, as we read in the prophecy of Zechariah 13, "Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." So, God causes the word to be remembered so that people repent. What about us? What causes you to remember God's word and repent? It's not a rooster crowing, but it could be a pastor proclaiming God's law to you. You want to think of it, that could be also a harsh, loud, irritating sound like a rooster. God's unchangeable, immutable, damnable law that shows our sins. It's not very flattering to the pastor. But the law is not very flattering. The law is necessary. Necessary to show us that what God's word says it means, and that what God's word says it has the power to do, it does. God's law, as we just read with the Ten Commandments, crushed every one of our hearts this evening. You have not kept any of those ten, even though I don't know you very, very well. I've not kept any of those ten, because we've all sinned against them in thought, in word, and deed. The law has the power to do that, to crush our sins, to lead us to confess our sins, and then the law has the power to say, I'm sorry for those sins. I repent of those sins. The law shows us what miserable sinners we are, how every day, many, many times a day, we sin in thought, in word, and deed. Paul said, by the law is the knowledge of sin. We learned about that in the catechism, confirmation class. Right, Jonathan? The law is a mirror. What does it do? Jonathan, what does it do? The law shows our sins. Shows us our sins. I didn't tell him I was going to do that, by the way. Shows us our sins. The Apostle James used that mirror illustration too. In James 1, he wrote, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. That fits in with our study and our focus on remembering the law, remembering the thought of remembering, and then the action. When the law comes to us, we remember our sins, and the action is we repent. Failure to repent when we look into the law, James says, is like a man. He looks in the mirror, sees his face, turns away, and completely forgets what he looked like because he doesn't want to know. So also, if we refuse to repent, even though we've seen the law and the mirror shows us, then the law is still, our sins are still bound to us. So God sends his law to remind us of our sins and lead us to repent. You'd probably like a more beautiful sound, though, than a crowing rooster, like a chirping bird. We'd probably like something more flattering, like someone praising our goodness or saying how nice we are, rather than the pastor saying God's law that all of us are like filthy rags and stink to high heaven because of our sins. But it's God's word, it's God's power, it's God's truth, and God's word works. Now, we may not have gone out literally weeping bitter tears a few minutes ago, but we all were led to confess our sins with a godly, repentant heart. So God causes his word to be remembered so that people repent. Our third point, Jesus' word caused Peter to repent and then was restored. So far, we've talked about repentance. The Bible says that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations. Repentance and forgiveness goes hand in hand. When God leads people to confess their sins and repent, we're told God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus didn't go up to Peter and rub his nose in his denial. He didn't make him pay for his sin. He forgave him and restored him. In fact, there is that relationship between Peter denying Jesus three times and Jesus reinstating Peter into his apostleship three times. In John 21, the risen Jesus said to him, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Instead of shaming Peter, instead of disowning him or making him earn back his credibility, the Lord simply said the same thing he said to Peter 3 years earlier, at the beginning of his ministry, simply, follow me. There was no need to burden Peter. There was no need to make him do penance for his sins. Peter was truly sorry for his sins. And so Jesus forgave him his sins. And when Jesus forgives something, it's forgotten. The denial is forgotten. The sin is forgotten. The guilt is gone. There is no condemnation. Now, it's by inspiration, of course, by the Holy Spirit. But no doubt, Peter felt those sins and then wrote later on, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. It may have also been those bitter tears of repentance between his denial and his reinstatement that gave Peter that experience of knowing what he wrote later on. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So, God causes his word to be remembered so that people repent. And our last point, of course, applies to all of us. God's word causes us to repent, confess our sins, to be forgiven and also restored. The crowing of the law is good for us because God has given power to the law to first show us our sins and then to lead us to repent of those sins. Where God works through the words of the law to bring genuine sorrow over our sins, then we hear the words of forgiveness in Christ, which are the words of the gospel. And where there is forgiveness, there is the washing away, the cleansing of all of our sins. But the Lord Jesus doesn't just leave an empty hole there now, or an empty slate, for the sins come pouring back in again. Remember the story that Jesus told about the evil spirit that was cast out of that one person? And now he's looking for some other place to go and live? Remember he said this in Luke 11? And finding none, the evil spirit finding none, he says, I'll return to my house, that person, from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. When God forgives our sins, he doesn't just leave us empty there. He fills us. He restores us with the Holy Spirit through his word. He restores us and he fills us with his Spirit. One of the Pentecost hymns, hymn 233, says that in this first verse, come Holy Spirit, Creator blessed, vouchsafe within our heart, our souls to rest. Come with thy grace and heavenly aid and fill the hearts which thou hast made. So God causes his word to be remembered so that people repent. A rooster crowing caused Peter to remember God's word. And the power of God's word led Peter to repent of his sins and be assured of his forgiveness, and he was then a restored, forgiven servant. God does whatever it takes. And this evening, he did it again. As we went through those Ten Commandments, and we saw our sins, and as we confessed our sins, we heard Jesus tell us those wonderful words. Your sins are forgiven. And we're also assured we're restored in the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.